Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
This is John Heyman this morning with Mully and Haw talking about Javier Baez, his impending free agency.
Baez, I mean, I think we could start it with a two. We shall see. I've heard.
Wow.
That was a laugh. I heard the laugh in the background. I thought it was you. I thought it was Shane with an open mic.
We could start it with a two. We shall see. I've heard.
I honest to God thought that was you, buddy.
Don't laugh! This ain't reality TV!
Joining us right now is the giggler himself. It is David Haw.
This is Haw.
Joining us right now on the score. David, was that the involuntary laugh of one David Haw when John Heyman threw out the two on the front of the Javi Baez contract?
You know, I guess so. Now that you say so, I might have had my Zach Zaidman moment. I might have been cackling in the back, a little surprised that the two was dropped there. Yeah, I think it probably, if I listened to it again, I was giggling a little bit.
And it's kind of a giggle now. It really is. It's kind of a giggle.
It was a surprise. It was a surprise, I think.
That was
it. I mean, I think we could start it with a two. We shall see. I've heard
That was it.
What's that supposed to be? Some kind of sick joke?
First, I thought it was a cough. And then I'm like, no, that's a laugh. And then I thought it was Shane with an open mic. But it was your body doing something very natural. It's a hell of a book. Hell of a job booking by both me and Shane Reardon. So thank
well done,
you. Go back to your jog. Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
Right.
Thank you.
Solid. The involuntary laughter of David Haw.
David Haw here. Anybody call you Dave?
Gator sausage.
Let's not beat that show.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Tim. Here we go. Here we go, Tim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
We will be that show, playing funny things from other shows, gently poking fun while promoting our colleagues, you know, having fun and talking about sports on the radio, because the vast majority of this stuff ain't that serious speak. Sounds like you guys had fun yesterday with Ranji.
We did indeed have fun, me and Chris Ranji. He's an agreeable sort, a thoughtful dude. We had a good time. We figured out that I look, that I do unfortunately look a lot like Mancow, no matter what I say or think or do. Apparently a beard and a goatee are not as dissimilar as they seem to be to me. So that
you think your facial hair is very different than Mancow's
facial? I do. That was my thought. That was my thought on it.
Mm.
It's not.
I mean, yeah. You know, but and the glasses and the profession and the skin tone.
It's not the skin tone. The microphone. Yeah, I think the microphone is a big part of that. But yeah, no, we had fun.
88% though.
Yeah, that's a lot.
88% said that Speaks looks like Mancow.
Yeah, it's a high number. That's a high number. And the people who said that maybe my wife picked these glasses because she wants me to look more like Mancow, those people can bite me. Those people can directly reach out and bite me.
Okay.
Because that's not true.
It felt like you were upset about it yesterday. Is that accurate?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, what are you going to do? Who do you get, Danny? Who do you get for doppelganger? I'm sure Shane gets any number of baseball players with beards similar to his.
I don't get good-looking people.
Tanny, do you get Bill Burr once in a while?
I get a young Brad Pitt, but that's, you know, but younger Brad Pitt. Like, it's tough to see it now, but sure.
That makes sense.
No, I don't get Bill Burr. Is that something you see?
It just popped into my head as we're sitting here talking. Yeah, a little
Max
bit.
Said, I'll take it, yeah.
Max said I looked like the guy in Three Billboards. What's his name?
No one will ever remember his name.
Yeah, Three Billboards actor. Whatever, doesn't matter. I don't have many similar ones other than the guy
Woody Harrelson,
third place in the lookalike contest. No, Lucas Hedges.
Oh, Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, Peter Dinklage. Yeah, Lucas Hedges is who Max said I looked
like. Oh, Lucas Hedges. Yeah, he's a big time actor, big time young actor, dude.
Yeah,
these days
it was fine. That's on the more complimentary end of the spectrum.
That really is.
Of that ones really is. That I get. So I will absolutely take Lucas Hedges.
That was a day that Mac had nothing and wanted you to feel good.
He had just watched Three Billboards for the seventh time. You look like this guy.
Yeah, instead of watching the Bulls game or whatever you need to actually be discussing. That's Three Billboards and then,
Speaking of the NBA, I actually got good news in the last hour of the show. There wasn't time for us to get to it, but I will just share with you that I just was informed that my brother Brad and nephew Jack had someone step up and purchase crazy tickets expensive tickets to tonight's game, and they are hightailing it to Milwaukee right now.
Wow.
To go to game six. Yeah.
That's tremendous.
Whoa! Yeah.
I had been rooting for Bucks in six to make sure that Brad Parkins got there. And then today I was informed that he wasn't going to get there, and now he is. That is awesome. Hope he gets there in time to enjoy the Deer District and all that crazy-ass stuff that's happening around the Pfizer Forum.
I think he's a stud. I think they left about 4:15 or so. So they'll make it up there with a little bit of time before the game, and then they're going to go. And it's crazy, man. That's just it's very exciting. And those tickets just – they've gone to a game every round, and they just did a big college trip out east, and so some fatigue coming back and getting back into the workflow. But I guess a family friend heard that they weren't going and just said, screw it.
Wow.
Buy the tickets for you. Nice to have friends in high places. That's very, very cool. So
that is very cool. And it's interesting. It came up in a transition. Is there envy for Bulls fans at Milwaukee and the Bucks? On the precipice of a title. And I don't know that there is. I really haven't sensed much of it at all. You said you don't feel any, and I haven't really seen it from people. Brewers, I could see if the Brewers were to get the World
Brewers
Series
and Packers is different than the Bucks. I think because, Bulls' interest is at a low right now. Not at an all-time low, but it's not like the most rabid of fan bases right now. And rivalries exist in basketball among the competitive. It's more of a player rivalry, a legacy rivalry, or just if teams are good and happen to meet in a couple of playoff series. But the Bulls are down and the Bucks are up. And so I don't think that there's much jealousy or animosity at all for the Bucks. In fact, I'm rooting for them heavily for family reasons and basketball reasons. Is your window open where you're broadcasting from?
Yes, my window is indeed open.
Yeah, we've heard sirens multiple times throughout the show.
Is buzzing. Would you like
speaking of windows, I'm assuming you're a Steeler fan.
I'm not, A-Rod, but thanks for asking.
Yeah, you know, it's an option, but no big deal.
I can do that. My genuine thought was the air conditioner is louder than the window on a more steady basis, but maybe the air conditioner is not as damaging to the oral quality.
I don't know the answer to that, but I was like, man, I don't think those sirens are coming from in here. This is soundproof. Where they are is soundproof. But beyond that, I think you're the guilty party there. Yeah. But last night, the White Sox, they win the second game of that doubleheader in walk-off fashion. Gavin Sheets hits the bomb. They are rolling. They are off the board for AL Central odds. It is a fait accompli that they are going to win that division, go to the playoffs. We'll see what they do at the trade deadline. I assume they will add a relief pitcher or two. I hope that they upgrade second base, even though Leury García, since the Madrigal injury, has been producing at a very acceptable rate. Like I look at it as be gluttonous, be buyers when you're this much of a lock to get in. But when you have guys like Gavin Sheets just stepping in and producing, I can understand why it would be easy to have the opinion set in of, man, everyone who comes up for this team produces. Why do we need to mortgage any part of our future when we've got these guys like Gavin Sheets producing now?
That's what La Russa said last night, the depth.
I disagree with it, though.
Everybody is stepping up and getting it done. No, I mean, well, both things can be true, that all those guys are stepping up and getting it done. The Goodwin has had good moments, that Hamilton had good moments when he was healthy, that all that stuff, and that Sheets and Berger have contributed and have been, you know, an energy-providing and run-producing entities that have absolutely helped the team. And still, you don't want to necessarily depend on those guys, you know, when things get towards the playoffs. So I think both of those things can be true.
Just in the context of the trade deadline, I don't like hearing it because it feels like it's the organization setting itself up for our additions are in-house. You know how I feel about that. Those aren't additions. Like, go out and look for where you could upgrade, whether that's bullpen, second base, depth for you don't know who gets injured in August and September. But, yeah, of course, the younger guys on the roster are producing when they come up, but you don't necessarily want to rely on a bunch of those guys in October if you don't need to.
And I don't think you want to rely on Leury García to be your everyday second baseman throughout a playoff run. And I don't think they're going to. We haven't seen Jake Berger play there yet. You know, defensively, he's awfully raw there. Interesting that we haven't seen him there yet. Maybe it's something they don't even want to try at the big league level. Did you see the splits that I think it was Brian Billick who tweeted this earlier? I wonder if you guys saw this, where like Leury García's production has largely been in low leverage situations against teams under 500 at this point. Like, there's good overall production, but it's splits that lend themselves to the idea that Leury García is not necessarily somebody you want to trust offensively against really good pitchers on really good teams in really big moments, which makes sense to the narrative that's in the head of a lot of White Sox fans.
I mean, the production is there for a guy that you are not going to be relying on once everyone comes back to be more than your nine hitter. But again, go get Adam Frazier. Right. Just
or Eduardo Escobar, who homered again last night.
Sure.
They look really good right now, but it's okay to do something to put yourself over the top.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with security.
Yeah. And you want to avoid complacency. Also, there's a long time between now and October. A lot of days. So upgrading depth, injuries can happen, bad stretches can happen. Places that are strengths now can become weaknesses by then. Like, you want to make the roster as bulletproof as you possibly can. Did you hear Tanny has this from the Twins broadcast. They went all Twins broadcast on it.
It's the best.
Last night. They didn't exactly see Gavin Sheets' walk-off coming. Let's just put it that way.
And that's going to be the everlasting memory of Gavin Sheets against Barrios, at least tonight. Has probably been told, yeah, the guy throws mid-90s. He's got a wipeout slider. And Sheets is going to toss and turn tonight, thinking about his changeup.
And it's been good. He's had a good feel for it. And you can see why he's throwing it more in this ball game, and whether it's facing the White Sox, whether it's pitching in this ballpark, he seems comfortable.
That's Gavin Sheets.
Deep to right field. And the White Sox beat the Twins.
It's pretty great.
Oh, man. It's Gavin Sheets striking out in the fifth inning against Barrios for the second time, and the Twins TV guys thinking that's the everlasting memory for Gavin Sheets against Jose Barrios. Oh, no. Shifted that quite dramatically in the bottom of the seventh later on.
The arrogance of the Minnesota Twins, who are about to be pretty big sellers, you would imagine.
I think so.
At the trade deadline.
I hope not, man. I hope they stand pat.
Keep those guys. Keep Nelson Cruz on the Minnesota Twins.
Right.
He's earned the right to be there and be comfortable. Same with Berríos. He deserves to be there. He's a cornerstone of that franchise. Keep him right there.
Right. You don't want him on Boston. You don't want him on Houston. Of course. Yeah, of course.
Why would you do that? You know, faces of your franchise, man.
You don't want your fan base. Nelson Cruz and the Oakland A's to be running into you in the first round of a playoff series.
Yeah, with him and Bryant back-to-back in the lineup. That would be tough.
That would be scary. But I'm curious. Like, Tanny, do you have any feeling of, okay, they're going to the playoffs, let's just get there? None.
I don't even, like, when you say stuff like, yeah, it's fait accompli that they're going to be in the postseason. I know all the projections say 99.9999%. I'm not in that school of people that's like, oh, yeah, guaranteed, punch the ticket, division winners, because so much can still happen.
You know, it can't.
Yes, it can, actually.
No, it cannot.
They don't even have a 10-game lead yet.
But no one else in the division is good. No one else in the division is going to be a buyer.
If you haven't noticed, the White Sox have had a bunch of injuries, and that doesn't, you know, there could still be more coming. They've been really lucky as far as injuries not happening to their starting staff.
Shane Bieber's on the mend. Franmil Reyes is healthy and hitting bombs for Cleveland.
Stop. I'm not saying if I had a bet, I'm not saying that it's like, oh yeah, the Sox are gonna blow it, you know. Yeah, see, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying in baseball you can't just assume things because complacency like that, you know, it'll come back and bite you real swiftly, I think.
Well, let me out our text exchange, Tanny, because maybe I misrepresented your feelings to Danny here, because we were talking about the game.
There's no nuance with Danny, so, you know.
What do you mean?
He runs to his corner, and screams loudly from it.
Let's get to the playoffs.
In his power chair, yeah.
Let's get to the playoffs.
I'm in the power chair.
Feels good.
I'm talking to Tanny about the games last night, and he texts this. I should be enjoying the Sox stomping a mud hole in the Twins, but it's not as fun when they suck. Eyes on the prize, I guess. And then I say, uh-oh. The regular season fun loss has begun. Contender life. See, that's the thing. There is a little bit of a regular season fun loss, which ends up being the cost of thinking about your team as a contender and thinking about perfecting the roster for October. Is sometimes you can find yourself not enjoying the highs of a season as much as possible. So there's nuance there that maybe I should not have represented to you, Danny, as, all right, let's just get to the playoffs.
Yeah. It's like, all right, let's get to the playoffs. But, I mean, that is the definition of a high-class problem, right?
Well, that's what you want. Right. I'm thankful that the Sox are in that position. But yesterday was a perfect example of, yeah, it was great the way it ended, and it was pure magic when you have that kid come up and hit the walk-off like that. It was one of the great moments you'll see all season. But it still happened on a day where some of your limited weaknesses are amplified in that loss in the first game. And I'm not saying I couldn't enjoy the second game because of the first game, but it's a matter of putting things in perspective and keeping your eyes on the big picture when you're talking about the highs and lows of a baseball season. Like, you look at that first game, and you have some of the choices made by the manager and to not throw your closer out there in a high-leverage spot, even though you had him working in a non-safe spot the day before. Then
right.
He doesn't get in there in the second game either. Like, stuff like that, and then the need for another right-handed arm in the bullpen. Just you think about stuff like that because it's all about how you match up against teams like the Rays and the Astros and the A's. So that's what I think about. You know, I could still enjoy the highs because, you know, God knows I experienced the lows. You know, when those injuries happen, it's like those are real gut punches, you know. So I can experience the highs and lows but still maintain, you know, looking at the big picture spectrum of things.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And the other thing is that because the Twins suck, there's a feeling of, well, we should be beating them, as opposed to the exultation of we just took care of them for one of the two games.
And what I meant by that was all those years where the Sox were getting their teeth kicked in by the Tigers and the Twins, who were not even that great at the time, but the Sox were just so bad. I was sitting there watching like, oh, this will be nice when they can finally turn the tables on them and, you know, finally get what's theirs. But, you know, it wasn't there. I should be enjoying when the Twins suck, but just not – it's not there last night. You know, you appreciate the moment, but the fact that it was the Twins, it could have been anyone in that game right there. So it's maybe because we've already buried the Twins. You know, I think the Yermin 3-0 home run was the moment.
Yeah, the Twins are done.
Yeah, so it's not quite as fun there, but the moment is still cool. But just the Twins were just happened to be there last night as opposed to they were the perfect villain in that spot.
Yeah, I I just think like when you are this good with this much of a lead, you guys can mock me for the, all right, let's just get to the playoffs thing. But remember that, I mean, that came after four consecutive playoff trips.
And it came after four consecutive playoff trips, Danny. And it also came after a World Series win.
Correct.
A win and then years of waiting for a return trip and assuming that a return trip was the only thing worth celebrating at the end of a season. And so the long-term effect on Tanny and on White Sox fans during this window is going to be largely based on whether they get there early, like this year or next year, and whether they win early, like this year or next year. Like, things will stay hungry and will stay different if they don't get there and win it. You know, it was a really weird and compelling dynamic to the whole Cubs thing that ended up making it feel much more empty than it had to feel, just sort of based on the timeline of everything.
But they, you know? They also were the team that kept getting there, but were not peaking when they got there, right? So like they were really good in April, May, and June, and then in August and September, you're like, whoo, boy, this is not going to end well. So you went into the postseason with a degree of dread at the end of it, and it's not. It wasn't like the standard was banners, pennants in World Series. But that never means that the like winning a division title isn't impressive or don't enjoy the roller coaster of a baseball season. But I do think there is a real value in experiencing a high standard for a long period of time so it doesn't feel like one and done fluky. And then holding your team to that standard of sustained success because you realized what it looks like. I never experienced it as a Cubs fan.
I guess I'm wondering experientially how different it would be, and it's obviously unanswerable, but if the Cubs made the playoffs 5 out of 6 years and won a title in the middle of that in 2018, as opposed to winning a title on the front end of that in 2016 and never getting back. Like, just how different the experience of the overall window would have been, you know? And that's why I'm looking forward to comparing the feelings of this 5 years of Sox fandom. And I kind of hope it's different conversationally in some way. You know, it's just it's going to be very we'll see if it's different or if it's similar.
I'm not sure. I mean, you talk to Red Sox fans, right? And they say even after they won, they still, you know, the next year, if a closer blows a save, they just the sky was falling. They went right back to the fatalism stuff. What I think about the alternative universe is we were at spring training 2017 together, and how different it would have been if they would have lost Game 7.
Oh, my God.
Just the immense pressure on everybody. And I think that that is like the Cubs alternate universe that exists where they lose to Cleveland. And unlike that Royals team that lost to Bumgarner and the Giants,
and then came right back the next year
and bum-rushed everybody.
Yeah.
That because of the weight of 108 that would have been then 109, does everything else play out largely the same after that? And the pressure just builds and builds and builds on that core, and that's as good as it would have been.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think the hunger...
It's unanswerable, but... I know.
But I think the hunger of this bunch and the relentlessness would have been at a peak fervor to get it done that they would not have succumbed to the weight of that and the curse stuff and that those feelings.
I'd like to think so, but and you know, you'd be even more aggressive at deadlines if you needed to be and all of that, but... The fact that they won and they won early and they won the ultimate prize absolutely colored the remaining period of it. But I don't think that it made you more complacent. Because I was called gluttonous by you for 2017 and 2018. Like, my whole thing was dynasty, was hold them to the standards of the late 90s, early 2000 Yankees.
I don't think it made you more complacent. It made you more impatient during the course of a season.
Right.
Just made you want to get there to the playoffs and give them a chance to compete and get it done or not.
Right.
It made
play
you
play write the that things book. That, that right. Because what absolutely was true was 94-win seasons did not mean as much to you. You enjoyed them, you watched them, but like a regular season win total at the end of it was like, okay, fine.
Right, and on some level, I feel like that's a crime against baseball humanity. I guess that's what it is. On some level, you are denying yourself the joy of a really good team for a really good season. And I think some Cub fans did that to themselves.
Yeah, but again, they weren't at the end when they were gearing up for the games that mattered most. They were not playing good baseball a lot of the time. You know, it was excited for a new season.
Yeah.
Oh, they're really good again. And I'm not speaking for everyone. I'm just speaking for me. Okay, let's get to the playoffs. And then as the playoffs are coming, it's they're going to lose in game 163. The offense is broken. Oh, God, they can't hit good pitchers. Oh, man, everyone strikes out the exact same way. You know, it was just you felt like you knew the ending for like 3 years in a row to how it all ended up. But it does feel like the Sox thing is going a little different. We will set the scene from the Deer District in about 20 minutes. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
I'm leaning into it.
I'm leaning into it. Matt Spiegel said, which is the thing that everybody who's leaning into it says, of course, famously, about the man-cow comparisons. We all have the ones that we
hate. I'm leaning into it.
I'm leaning into it. The ones on the text line for me are not kind, as one would imagine. We will get a check-in with Bart Winkler from the Deer District in a few minutes.
I love Bart.
I know you do. I know you do. He's a good man. And thorough. But there was a story over the weekend of Alex Verdugo getting hit in the back by a baseball from a fan. And they said that he's banned for life. And I wanted to know how you ban someone for life. Because you watch this thing, like there's going to be 65,000 people outside the Buck Stadium tonight, in addition to the 20,000 people that are inside it. And you go to a sporting event, and you're like, how the hell are they going to do any of this?
Yeah.
Though I will say, I went through those new metal detectors at Wrigley that can see that the metal in your pocket is your phone and your keys and not something else. I'm like, damn, that's pretty cool. So how the hell are they going to keep this guy banned from going to any baseball game?
Apparently, the Red Sox, at least for one, are going to ban this guy. They said, it is certainly difficult to enforce, but our protocol includes sending an official notification that the individual is not allowed on Fenway Park property, which gives law enforcement the ability to arrest them if they're found inside the ballpark. That still doesn't do anything because you're like, just look for this guy, right?
Right.
But also, they are they're going to ban the guy's profile from the MLB ballpark app. So you can't do that. So that's one way they're going to do is that they're going to ban people from using the MLB ballpark app with whatever email they've been using. And
easy way to get around that. And I mean, if I go to a game and I got the four tickets for me and you know Steph and another couple, I just go up there and I scan the four different tickets on my phone, and then the four people walk in. So have someone else scan the tickets, have another email address, have another phone.
How about this? Buy tickets through a secondary market, and you're not using the ballpark app. You end up using StubHub. You just have like the little QR code. So that doesn't work, obviously. But then also they say, while this method is not foolproof, it's an approach we think sends a strong message again, serious forms of unacceptable behavior. So they're kind of just hoping that the person is like, yeah.
You're hoping that there's no follow-up questions.
They're hoping there's no follow-up questions. And they're hoping that someone is risk-averse. That person who just threw something at a player at a ballpark is risk-averse. Doesn't seem like a very risk-averse person. The answer eventually, Danny, is facial recognition technology. That's the supposition, is that eventually there will be facial recognition technology at ballparks, and if you ban somebody, you really will be able to identify them if they try and come in, as long as they're not wearing a mask or get massive amounts of plastic surgery just so they can go into a ball game.
Facial recognition software kind of freaks me out.
Understandably so.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Those new metal detectors are kind of weird. I feel like they're looking deep within my soul when they do that stuff. You know?
Do you have a phone that can unlock just by looking at your face?
Oh, absolutely.
You do? Yes. I don't have one of those.
You don't have that enabled? You don't have the Face ID enabled?
Yeah. Thing? I don't like
it. Do you have a home button on your phone?
I still got a button on the phone, yeah.
Oh, what a poor
idiot loser.
Oh my God. Wow. Really?
Yeah. Sorry, I became elitist once I got an iPhone.
I get it.
Was fast, Tanny.
My dog doesn't even have a home button anymore.
It's like 2.5 weeks.
I like
Tanny
it. You got the thumb imprint. You just put your finger on there and it opens up.
On your big dumb button.
Yeah. How do you guys go back and out of apps without a button?
You swipe up from the bottom and it closes the app.
It just pops up right
you don't even
there.
Have to. You don't have to press a button.
Just like that.
Oh, man.
So I just double-click the button, and then I swipe up.
Right, so that's double the amount of moves you have to make.
He's trapped in 2020, this guy. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Wow, I'm the only guy with a button on my phone. I'm going to go to the iTunes store today. The Apple store.
Right? Excuse me?
You're not going to find one there.
Okay, Dad. Danny's knocking on the door of the iTunes store.
Where is the iTunes store?
Open up.
Let me use MapQuest to find my way to the iTunes store.
The Apple store is what I meant. Yeah. Really.
Go out there and flag a cab.
That really bad.
Grandpa.
Take me to the App store.
Yeah, cabs are
team
back.
Cab. We're team cab here on this show.
You know what? I'm team cab too, by the way, but it's hard to find them. So I've downloaded the Curb app. And I call taxis with the Curb app, which feels an awful lot like calling an Uber. It really does.
It is. It's the same thing.
But the prices are better. Prices are better. And I feel
so that's what I was going to ask. So is that the move now? Because the Uber and Lyft prices are outrageous.
Outrageous. So I think
does the cab app work in the same with the curb with the same fastness?
Yes.
Which is not the speed.
Speed. We'll go with speed.
Sorry, it's a bad hour. I said teeth earlier.
I'm very flustered. Does it work like that?
Yes.
Just geolocation and it just shows up in minutes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It doesn't seem to have as quite as good a gauge on where your driver is. Like, I've used it a couple times. It's like, oh, my driver's 4 minutes away. Nope, he's here. Okay. All right. So there's that small issue. But and you're agreeing to pay a fare, which may be a little bit more than what a regular cab fare would be. But you're getting a ride. You're getting a ride and you're not paying the Uber and Lyft prices. So, yeah.
All right. It was inevitable that this was going to happen, by the way. They were so cheap for so long. It made no sense. You can go to the airport for $20 in a black car, like when these apps started launching.
Yes.
It's just outrageous. And so now it's overcorrecting.
Well, there's no regulation in Chicago for it, right? Because there's like the Ari Emanuel is an investor in Uber, and Rahm was the mayor. Perhaps you remember that.
I thought I reported already on the show that Uber prices are going way up and the drivers aren't getting any more money. I reported
You did report that.
Without
scoops.
The information.
Fact-checking it at
you
all. Kind of like your Luis Roberts scoop.
Yeah, you missed the Luis Roberts stuff, but you did have that thing about Uber.
Yeah, I did have that thing about Uber.
Which was not true. We will go to Milwaukee and see what it's like outside of the Fiserv Forum, I believe. How's it pronounced? Could be their first championship in a long, long time. Bucks and Six has been their motto for years. I cannot imagine what that city will be like for the next 72 hours or so if they win tonight. Bart Winkler will tell us what he expects next on The Score.
So, do you come to Milwaukee often?
Well, I'm a regular visitor here, but Milwaukee has certainly had its share of visitors. The French missionaries and explorers were coming here as early as the late 1600s to trade with the Native Americans.
In fact, isn't Milwaukee an Indian name?
Yes, Pete, it is. Actually, it's pronounced Miliwake, which is Algonquin for the good land.
We go up north to the Deer District on the Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline, home of the world's largest sports book, our friend and yours, Mornings on the Fan in Milwaukee. Bart Winkler on the Parkinson Spiegel Show, live from the Deer District, where over 60,000 people are expected tonight. Bart, what's it like out there a couple hours before tip-off?
Hey, guys. It is, it's already a madhouse. Tons of people here. And so the Bucks, what they're going to try to do is they have made the space for 65,000, but there is going to be a lot more than that in this general area. So downtown Milwaukee is going to be just pure insanity. And what's crazy about this is, like, there's a lot of people that don't care about the Bucks 2 weeks ago that have made it a pilgrimage to come here. one of my like closest friends hasn't been downtown Milwaukee in 15 years, and he's coming down to this. So good luck to that guy.
I respect the hell out of it. How do you think the city will handle this championship if slash when they win this game tonight?
Oh, I feel like a lot of us feel like they already have won. So there could be massive heartbreak tonight. So that would be a problem. But I personally think we'll handle it well. But when you guys wake up tomorrow and there's like 16 stories of 30 cars on fire, that's not going to look good.
No. What is the city's readiness level for this, Bart? Are there public bathrooms there? Are there drinks for sale there? Like, what kind of crap show are we actually literally looking at this evening?
Well, the Deer District, it's set up to handle people, which is great, but it's set up for people to watch the game. But if you want to, like, move or have room or have a drink or go to the bathroom, you're in trouble. So it's just like you're here to watch it. If you want to enjoy the surroundings, yeah, you better off staying home.
Are Wisconsinites likely to support each other? Like if we have a Lord of the Flies situation, are people going to help each other survive tonight?
Well, check this out. So friend of the score, Rami Makhlouf, I believe he's on the weekend. Yes?
Yes, yes. We're familiar with his work.
Yes, he has reserved a spot for me at a bar. So, right, I'm kind of in the elitist zone right now. Uh-huh. And we have all you can drink. So I'm watching all the people that I just described. We've already decided amongst our group, if there is an all-out war, we are going to band together with the other elite and fight the normals.
Oh, it's good. I like that. They're like the foot soldiers that are out in front, and you guys are like ahoy polloi, high and mighty with your protected mozzarella sticks and nachos and cheese curds and beers inside the bar. I like that. That's good.
Yeah, this guy I'm looking at right now has been in line for 50 minutes to get a beer in the same spot, and I just ordered cheese curds.
Right. Well, you're Bart Winkler.
That's right.
Yeah.
And here they are. Wow. Yeah.
here are the curds. All right. Enjoy a curd for a moment. We like imagining this post-apocalyptic dystopian nightmare that's going to take place should the Bucks actually win the title tonight. Do you suspect it'll be better or worse for society if the Bucks win this game or lose this game tonight?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. I think it would be better if they won for society. Oh, God, I don't know. That's a good question. Because if they lose, everybody just kind of, like, walks around sad, yes. Maybe tips over a garbage can, you know? But if they win, how come is it – why is it when teams win, our first instinct is to destroy?
Hey, because humans, when collectively put together, are stupid people. We're a dumb, selfish species, and we've really outlived our utility and purpose on this earth, to be honest. But it's a good question, though, because like here in Chicago, we are a big-ass city. We are an international destination. So Blackhawks, Cubs, White Sox, Bulls, championship parades, yeah, we notice. Yeah, it's big, but like we got the space. We got the transportation. We got the infrastructure. When I was in Kansas City, when the Royals won the World Series in 2015, there were estimated to be 800,000 people in downtown Kansas City with a city population of about 450,000 people. People were abandoning their cars on the highway. Like, the city broke under that many people. What, like, say that happens in Milwaukee and 800,000 people go to downtown Milwaukee for the parade. How do you think that's going to go over, Bart?
Oh, my God. That's a good question. Because we're, like, so starved for a parade down here. All we ever talk about is a parade, parade. We want a parade so bad. As I was saying yesterday, the last time we had a parade was for the 1982 Brewers. Do you remember how they did? They lost. and we had a parade for him. So I don't know how we're going to be able to handle anything.
Bart, are you drunk right now?
No, I am under strict orders from our mutual boss not to drink.
That's a dumb
rule. That seems wise. No, I think that seems wise. It's going to be chaos.
You're kind of a wackadoodle. I don't know where you're going.
Here's what we're picturing, Bart. At the end of a long night, after a lot of chaos, a destitute family approaches you, desperate for sustenance, and they ask for a cheese curd. Would you give them one of your cheese curds at that point if all hell breaks loose?
Every man for himself has been my motto since I was 5 years old. You know what I just found out while I was here? You guys probably don't care about this, but
well,
I'm gonna bring it up. My son was at the park. He's 2 years old, and he just slapped another kid in the face unprompted. So his genes have to come from somewhere. So I imagine that is the way I will react as well.
Was it a Suns fan? Was the other kid a Suns fan, possibly?
I don't know. My wife didn't tell me all the details yet. I'm mortified about it.
Bucks and six. Thank you, Bart. Stay safe. Get drunk. Don't listen to Mitch.
I have stopped long ago.
Good. That's Bart Winkler from the Deer District. Man, I'm rooting hard for the Bucks tonight, man.
Oh, God. Yeah, I am too. Good for them. Good for those fine denizens of Milwaukee. I love that people have made it a pilgrimage. You know what? Let's go downtown. When's the last time you were downtown? 15 years ago.
The problem with the Deer District is movement. Oh, like if you want to get a drink or go to the bathroom. Yeah. It's just a problem of movement.
Yeah, just solve that. Just don't move. Everything should work out fine.
Okay. Well, enjoy the game tonight. Thank you to Bart Winkler. Thank you to Scott Morrow. Thank you to... We had one more guest today.
Richard Roper.
Thank you to Connor O'Donnell. Runs our video stream and Twitch chat. We appreciate him. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. Enjoy the games tonight. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
I'm almost too mad to do the show at this point. In fact, I just need to walk out of here. I can't do it. This is not some theatrics I'm doing. I've reached the point so pissed off at everything that I can't do the show anymore. I got to go to rebroadcast for a while. Let me play a couple things. We'll see if I'm able to come back. Probably not. We're going to get wiped out. People aren't serious. They're all in the trance. It's all over. Seriously, screw everybody, man.
Spring is a time of renewal. So why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.